Before we start this episode of CFD's Podcast for Good, let's give a little shout out to our presenting sponsor, WSECU. WSECU has been a part of the community since 1957 and has been supporting the CFD in a big way since 2011. Thanks to them, we were able to bring you spectacular events and promotions like the Masquerade Ball, Golf for Veterans Tournament, and our incredible First Week to Give, which has been responsible for raising tens of thousands of dollars in donations to charities throughout our community. For more on how WSECU serves charities throughout our community, visit www.wsecu.org/community. And of course, visit our website to find out more about our incredible partnership with WSECU. And now, here's the show.
Rattle, rattle, rattle. I don't know.
I think that's it. I think they go cool.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt.
No doubt.
I thought we were also doing like a Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
He's his own coolness.
Well, I thought like that's why you said all right, all right, all right.
He does all right, all right, all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I understood.
I'm glad that you got
I just didn't know what character you're playing. You didn't really do like a big Matthew McConaughey twang.
I didn't. I usually like to go more twangy with my McConaughey.
You want to try it again?
No, I'm fine.
Oh, okay.
I'm fine.
No, you're good.
Wait, how's that go? He goes,
All right. Yeah, so you did a good job because you did slow.
I know.
Unlike my Christmas musical the other day. Where I was like totally like making it an EDM jam.
Butchered the
silver mirror. Bells just didn't
silver bells will never be the same.
No, just way too fast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of CFD's Podcast for Good. My name is Philip Kerrigan. I am the program manager of the Washington State Combined Fund Drive. I am joined by
Jerrica Ferguson, the one who handles marketing and development. The only one.
I am the one.
Oh, you went that direction.
Yeah.
I was thinking more of like a nice,
Motown.
Like a Motown 50s. Got it. You know,
okay.
Kind of like, I'm
like
the one.
Better. I like.
And then, yeah, and then you went like dark horse.
I went darker. I went darker. Yeah. It just kind of shows you where our heads are at.
I mean, it's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine.
We're talking today about foster care.
Yes, we are.
And I think foster care has so many different levels. There's domestic foster care. And we're going to talk mostly about actually a very specific foster care organization that deals in a specific country in a specific part of the world.
Yeah.
That is the Alliance for Children Everywhere.
Yes.
And that is based in Zambia.
Yes.
Which is a country in Africa.
Correct.
And so we were joined by Carrie Armbruster. She is the executive director.
Mm-hmm.
She came and talked to us about the pretty heavy need.
Yeah.
In Zambia.
Need. Yeah. She really charismatic, and she really does know her stuff when it comes to this specific topic. And mm-hmm. I think what I really appreciated too about this is that she is an individual who just has such a strong passion for it and has been doing it over the years that her experiences visiting Zambia really mm-hmm. reflected into that interview and that she really demonstrated to me what that need specifically was and what we can do to help this organization and the people in Zambia to do that. The various tribes and how they're different in each of those areas to be able to actually create a sense of community that foster children that these children that need foster care can actually get the services that they need provided.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I always find it interesting when you talk to people, like we've had the Tanzania Teaching Foundation on the podcast.
Right.
We had Carrie from this particular organization, ACE, ACE as they call themselves, and also Hands for Peacemaking from Guatemala. It's always interesting to me to hear the reasons why somebody dove into that part of the world that they that they're passionate about. And it's always personal. Like they went there or the founder started it because they were there or whatever it was. But it's like some of the most personal work that people do.
Yeah.
And it was no different with Carrie.
Exactly.
And you can tell
from the way she talked that this is something that she's super duper passionate about. Mm-hmm. And she really thinks that there's a lot of need there.
Yeah.
Zambia is a little bit of a picture of a lot of different countries in Africa. They have actually a stable government.
Yeah. Actually, they're not experiencing civil war.
Right.
As a lot of other countries in right. Africa that she spoke about in the podcast.
Mm-hmm. But they are light on resources. Mm-hmm. And they're light on money.
Yep.
Economically, they are not what you would call an advanced mm-hmm. Country in Africa. Mm-hmm. And even though there is corruption, as she kind of talked about, it's not sort of the massive corruption Correct. You see from other dictatorships in yeah. Africa. But it's also not on par with mm-hmm. some of the more robust countries you yeah. see in Africa either. It's yeah. kind of like in that middle territory.
Yeah. And what was really interesting, too, is that she did talk a little bit about the refugee crisis. Mm-hmm. And yeah. people yeah. coming yep. from different countries to Zambia and what her organization does for these children that are crossing the border and what yep. you too can do for these children and what it's like from these children that are not part of these communities' tribes to be welcomed into that tribe and the struggle between these two different individuals coming together
right.
was something to me that was really inspiring and that actually really gave a bigger voice to something I don't think that we openly speak about as much as that we should.
You know, I always find it so interesting whenever, because we hit on it in this interview and you'll hear it. She talks about the amount of people that are coming over the border into Zambia from conflicts outside of Zambia yeah. in the neighboring countries. And you see it everywhere. When we have our leadership breakfast coming up soon, you'll hear from Medical Teams International, mm-hmm. Which is based in Uganda. Right. And they have South Sudanese come. Uganda is by no means a flourishing economy. No. And it's so interesting to me how like people are so desperate to leave certain situations yeah. that they'll literally move to a situation that's not all that much better.
Right. But as
just to get away.
But as we've heard from Medical Teams International, Uganda is actually what people use as a point to use for what the model should be, how to deal with yeah. refugees.
Yeah.
And so what's really unique is to hear from this organization's interview, what they do on a such smaller scale with these children mm-hmm. when they cross the border for their refugees, and then seeing on a different scale mm-hmm. from Medical Teams International, seeing how Uganda is actually uses the model across the world mm-hmm. as how to actually bring refugees into your community and make right. them part of the residents and citizens of your country.
Yeah. A really interesting conversation with regards to that, too, the whole idea of not only are they trying to set up a foster care system in Zambia for the residents that mimics the American mm-hmm. foster care system.
Yeah.
But also then they're now dealing with this influx of refugees yeah. that you're trying to build a system that isn't all the way accommodating to even your citizens yet.
Right. And it's very interesting. Yeah. And I think it's what's really cool is that she explains that why not use a model that we already have? Like, we don't have to reinvent yep. the wheel. And I appreciate that because I think a lot of organizations and a lot of just business practices really can use that similar model of what yeah. is actually working in other countries and how can yep. we take that similar model and change it just enough that fits what our country needs.
That's right. Very cool interview. It brings me to my question of the pod. I'm not as good at this as Ms. Lucas is, but we're going to do it anyway. Okay. Ms. Ferguson.
Yes, Mr. Kerrigan.
This is an international organization. It deals abroad. Mm. So my question to you is, question of the pod,
oh, gosh.
If you were to choose one country to visit in all of the world that you haven't visited yet, which country would you visit?
Peru.
You've already visited there. That's
no,
cheating.
I didn't.
I thought you had. Oh, Chile.
Yeah.
Okay. dang it.
I love South America.
So you're going Peru.
I'm going Peru.
Okay, cool.
Guatemala, Peru, those kind of countries okay. I would deal with. I like that area. Or.
Yeah.
I mean, I really just could like every country. Mm-hmm. But specifically, since this podcast has to deal with Africa, mm-hmm. I would either go Namibia.
Okay.
I would either go Egypt
mm-hmm.
or, ooh.
You have too many countries.
I know. I think I'd go everywhere. What about you?
Okay. So for me, I would pick Uganda
mm-hmm.
or I would pick Ethiopia.
You know, One of the other places I'd also pick is Kenya, because fun fact, mm-hmm. Washington State actually imports tons of Kenyan flowers.
Get out of here.
They have a massive export of cut flowers.
You know too much about Washington State stuff.
You know,
Can I just say that, you giant nerd?
This data came from a few years ago, but that's what I learned when the Kenya delegates
I think
came.
It's unreliable data. It's 2 years old.
I just have to say that it's allegedly...
Allegedly. We're going to have... It's a good thing we don't have people pay attention on Twitter, because we'd be annihilated if
Thank
it were wrong.
Goodness no one from the Attorney General's office listens. Just kidding, ATG, you rock.
Yeah.
Keep going with the combined fund drive.
Shout out to ATG.
Wow.
Whatever, it doesn't matter.
What's happening?
Sorry. Shout out to Attorney General. There I can't do the acronyms.
It's okay.
But anyway, without further ado, we're not going to listen to us ramble anymore about this. We're going to toss you to Carrie Ann Brewster from the Alliance for Children Everywhere and our interview with her. All right, and we are here with Carrie Armbruster, the Executive Director of Alliance for Children Everywhere. Carrie, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks, it's a pleasure to be here.
So let's get some low-hanging fruit right out of the way. Can you tell us a little bit about the Alliance for Children Everywhere and what it is that you do?
Sure, yeah. So the Alliance for Children Everywhere works primarily in the country of Zambia, and we do two overarching things. We do child and family welfare, and we do education. And we're looking to work with children who've been separated from their families, and we're looking to reunite them, or in partnership with the government, we're looking to put them into a domestic foster to adopt family. Mm-hmm. Okay. But either way, our goal for these children is permanency in a family, not in an institution.
Okay, that's wonderful.
Why Zambia?
So it really has to do with the founder. Uh-huh. She has worked in many countries around the world and in Latin America, and actually starting here in the U.S. with uh-huh. Native American populations. But she really has always had a heart for Africa. Uh-huh. And she, back in the late 90s, uh-huh. heard the then president of Zambia speaking, and yeah. he was talking about the huge crisis of HIV/AIDS, poverty, and essentially talking about the country of Zambia, which is in the southern part of Africa, north of Zimbabwe. And it's in the red zone for HIV/AIDS and poverty. And he was just putting this call out saying, listen, the average age of our population is around 15 or 16 years old. Wiped out a generation with HIV/AIDS, and then you add poverty and severe poverty on top of that, and it was just really challenging, and she just felt her heart called.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she went and started working with the local community and the local church and the government, and really saying, let's look at this problem. And again, her heart's always been children and families, and seeing that for so long we've shunted kids into institutions, into orphanages, and while that provides for their basic needs, these kids have very little social, cognitive, emotional development.
Right.
And when they turn 18, they age out and they're left with no family. And the outcomes for those kids is really dire, right? They end up on the streets. They've just had nothing to guide and raise up their lives, right? Kids need parents. They need adults in their lives who will help them do that. Yeah. So Zambia was kind of this thing that she just fell upon as she, you know, heard the call and asking people to help them.
So can you go into a little bit of detail about that, the foster care portion of the of it, and how that works?
So it's been a really cool evolution to watch this country in particular, even though it's happening in a few other countries on the continent of Africa as well. But just like the system we have here, when a child is separated from their family for whatever reason it might be, we're looking to put them into a family who will keep them temporarily. And the idea is that we're trying to create stability for that child. We're trying to create some sense of, you know, safety and security for them with caring adults. So in Africa, you know, there's been this idea that when a child is separated from family, if they don't have immediate family to go into, they get put into an orphanage. And that's really, again, like I've said, it's tragic for that child. And so what we started looking at was can we bring a system similar to what we have in, you know, North America, in mm-hmm. parts of Europe, where we have families who stand ready to do this? Mm-hmm. Well, originally, people were like, you're never going to find families who do this, because this is really a middle-class family who's mm-hmm. got the means to take a child
right.
and yeah. make sure they're going to school, they have yeah. the health care they need, and all of those things. Well, again, through sensitizing the community, working with the church, working with local people, we saw that people wanted to respond. Mm-hmm. But what we had to overcome was the stigma of right. taking a child who's either not part of your immediate family mm-hmm. and they are not from your tribe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Zambia is a very tribal country. So we started talking about, listen, these children need somewhere to be, and we will help you do that. We'll train yeah. you. Mm-hmm. So what we've brought is the best of what evidence-based research shows us
yeah.
here, and we've said there isn't any reason why we can't do the same thing yeah. here. We can train yeah. the social workers, we can train the families, we can work with the government. So what we've seen is, we've been in Africa for 20 years, we've wow. seen the government come along, and they're now what's a Hague-approved country, so that means you okay. are yeah. working towards a set of standards yes. mm-hmm. That you agree to within the context of children and looking at the UN rights of a child mm-hmm. and all yeah. of those things. So it's been really cool to see that happen, but even more cool is that we've got a couple hundred families that yeah. are have been trained cool. at the ready to foster, mm-hmm. and if there's not a reintegration option, mm-hmm. to adopt.
Yeah. Wow.
So it's really been cool. And so we're just like we are here mm-hmm. in our foster system. It's not perfect.
Right.
We know there's a lot of challenges, mm-hmm. and we want to learn from that and take the good pieces that are working, mm-hmm. contextualize it for Zambia, right? Every culture is different,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and help these children do that. And the idea is that we'll do away with the whole institutionalizing mm-hmm. of children altogether.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And we'll be fostering, we'll be adopting, we'll be reintegrating,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, see if we can't help, you know, really regain the institution yeah. of family as mm-hmm. the primary way we
yeah.
respond to crisis for children.
Yeah.
Of course.
So, let's dive in a little bit more into Zambia and yeah. the challenges that you see there. Mm-hmm. So paint a picture of the country. There are some African countries that, of course, are starting to, like, they're starting to
yeah.
really see some improvement in right. both human rights
yeah.
and then economically. And then other countries, unfortunately, are still mm-hmm. Still behind.
Yeah.
Democratic Republic of the Congo comes
yeah.
to mind.
Conflict.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paint a little bit of a picture of Zambia overall, and mm-hmm. then some of the challenges you see as you begin to try and integrate the program.
Sure. So the country of Zambia is relatively young. It gained mm-hmm. its independence back from Britain in about 50 years ago.
Yeah. Okay.
And what's been interesting about Zambia is it's been a no-conflict country. So
oh.
even though there is a lot of poverty, mm-hmm. 70% unemployment, I mean, it's rough. The economy mm-hmm. is rough. The political, you know, place, even though it's corrupt,
mm-hmm.
has been stable.
Yeah.
So there have been maybe 5 transitions of power. Every transition of power hasn't been without its challenges, but there's been no conflict.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a peaceful handover.
Yeah.
And so that is really beneficial for Zambia. There's a lot. We have a lot of refugees from the Democratic Republic of Congo,
right.
Zimbabwe, Malawi, Mozambique. Like it mm-hmm. borders all of these countries that are in conflict.
Sure.
But
yeah.
Zambia itself has been very peaceful. There's about 72 tribes in the country, and they're not at war.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of keep their separate ways. And in the big cities, it's a big melting pot of
yeah.
people,
yeah.
right? So, you know, Zambia has been very open to help and aid and assistance, and that's benefited them in terms of some of these programs, mm-hmm. like the Ministry of Social Welfare saying, mm-hmm. okay, let's look at what we can do to change how we mm-hmm. deal with children.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been like not a challenge, and when I go, yeah. we, you know, it's safe, and we can move and work in really great partnership right. with the local community and the government.
Yeah.
Some of the challenges, though, are that the need and the crisis is huge, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there are millions of people living in severe poverty. So, you know, we've started to kind of parse out levels of poverty, right?
Yeah.
So it used to be less than a dollar a day. Now it's, you know, if you live on less than $1.90 a day,
yeah.
oh, wow.
you fall below that extreme poverty. Mm-hmm. So that's who we work with.
Okay.
And
okay.
that is a huge population of people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they are living in, you know, no running water, no electricity, sanitation, mm-hmm. right? And they're living in really the townships or the slums of the city. And, you know, getting to and working with that population of people is challenging. And when you're dealing with 70% unemployment, right. how do you help somebody make money?
Right.
Yeah. And,
right.
you know, be able to put food on the table, get the health care they need, send their children to school.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what we have to do is get really creative in looking with how do we function within a system that probably isn't going to be available to help somebody, but give them, you know, a leg up to do that. So we've really started looking at that. We've looked at a lot of models, you know, all over, like not just Africa, but the world, and looking at how can we do that, because it's not a unique problem to just the country of Zambia.
Right.
But we're seeing some really cool things coming out of, you know, places that struggle, where you're not just going to walk out and go find a, you know, entry job with no education somewhere, right? Like not even manual labor, right? It's just those jobs are at a premium. So you've really got to find a way to do that for yourself. So we're helping people do that.
Cool.
That's amazing.
So you hit on something, refugees.
Mm-hmm.
I always find it so interesting because when you look at the numbers of like where refugees end up getting displaced, it's always, you know, the neighboring country. Most of the time, it's predominantly the neighboring country. And what's so interesting about the continent of Africa is that it's not like refugees are moving from one war-torn country to suddenly an affluent country. Sometimes they're literally moving from a war-torn country to a country like Zambia that is has extreme poverty. What are the impacts of that sort of massive influx of refugees? What does it have on the system in Zambia and the work that you do?
Yeah, so, you know, we get a lot of children trafficked in because of like coming from the Congo, coming from Botswana, coming from Zimbabwe. And so, I mean, just like anything, it just continues to overload an already weighted system of people with a lot of need. So it's really challenging because you're, you know, especially when you get a family who maybe isn't a resident of the country, the government is, while they're not telling them they have to leave, they're also not just willing
to helping them out.
Step in and help them out, right? And while we're not turning people away, it just means there's an extra layer of helping them. And Zambia is a peaceful country. And when people come in from other countries as well, they're a little bit marginalized.
Sure.
Because they're not part of the community. Mm-hmm. And while, again, Zambians are very welcoming people, you know, you just like you do here, you get people living
that
in
that conflict seems to factions, exist basically everywhere, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And and again, they're not going to go out of their way to help somebody, but they're also going to let them be. So it's I think it just really from our perspective in the work that we do, it's about adding to the numbers of people, right?
Right.
And in those situations where we have refugees, you know, if they don't speak, Zambia has like 70 languages.
Wow.
But English is the primary because that's the way everybody communicates.
Right.
But if they don't speak English, then, you know, add on top of that and even more challenging.
Yeah, language barrier.
Yeah. So, you know, we work with those folks. Sometimes, you know, we can work to repatriate them back to their country if possible.
Okay. Yeah.
But if it's not safe, then it's not safe, and we would offer them the same services. We're going to say, do you have a skill? If you don't have a skill, can we teach you, right? We do skills trainings to teach family skills. We put them in savings groups, right? Access to capital is non-existent in terms of the banking world.
Yeah.
Right.
So, right, we do this village saving and loan model, and we work them through what we call a graduation model to get them to a place where microfinance through some other partner NGOs is available to them, right? These families are so poor.
They don't even qualify for that.
So we're working with them to get them to that point. Right. That now they're like, okay, all I need is a $20 loan to start my little business. Well, that grows, and now they come back. They're like, I need a $150 loan. Awesome. Yeah. Now you can go over here to our partner and get that loan. Yeah. So, you know, in that same way, we would deal with those refugees, you know,
as no different.
And we would allow them to go through the program. And, you know, from the government's eyes, they would see them differently. But mm-hmm. in terms of our work and mm-hmm. within the communities we're in, we wouldn't.
Do you have a lot of, do you take on a lot of refugee children that you get to place? Or is that kind of a weird in between?
Yeah. So what we also have going on is we have two transit facilities. And that's like ages 0 to 7 years old. Mm-hmm. And we've got 0 to 2 in one facility and 2 to 7 or 8 in mm-hmm. another facility. That tends to be where we would get okay. children from other countries. And they've mm-hmm. been trafficked mm-hmm. in, or their family came into the country and say a parent has passed mm-hmm. away. Or mm-hmm. because of the nature of that kind of yeah. travel and movement, they got separated somehow.
Wow. How do you get aware of these children? Like, do they just show up?
Yeah.
Or is there people in the community that are reaching out? Like, how does that process for a child with your organization?
Yeah, all of the above. So okay. the two primary ways that we get children are the government, the Department of Social Welfare, social workers mm-hmm. bring them to us, or from the police directly.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Often they go, a child will be dropped at the police station, and they'll go take them to the social welfare department, who brings them to yeah. us.
Okay.
Sometimes the police officer brings them directly to okay. us. But that's because we have such a deep partnership with the government, mm-hmm. and they don't hold children. They don't have a place to hold them, so yeah. they bring them to us. And then our social workers work in concert with their social workers, mm-hmm. and we try and trace the child to a family mm-hmm. if they have
wow.
any.
That sounds like it could be something.
Oh, geez. Mm-hmm. I guess like literally a dirt road. Here's the child. Do you recognize this child?
Wow.
Child, do you know, if they're old enough, do you recognize where you are coming yeah. from? And they're like little miracle workers. Yeah. The social workers, sometimes they will find families, and I'm like, it's amazing to me. But
yeah.
And so they come to us that's the primary way. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, we'll have a person bring us a child, mm-hmm. like, because they were like, man, my neighbor dropped this kid with me to babysit, and I've not seen them for a week.
Yeah.
So it's maybe an abandonment mm-hmm. case, or something happened. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But typically we get it through the government, through
okay.
the police.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool.
That's wonderful.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, so let's say someone hears this podcast and wants to start giving to to ACE, to mm-hmm. Alliance for Children Everywhere. Can you talk about what donations do for your organization?
Yeah. So, you know, we've got these family and child welfare programs, and essentially these help us implement the programs. They help us bring things like savings groups mm-hmm. and job skills training. We've got social workers on staff, so there's a lot of social work happening, and, you know, they're helping these families on all levels, right? So right. what resourcing do they need to become stable?
Yeah.
And if that's some counseling services, if that is skills training, it's whatever it might be. So yeah. that really is the core of what's happening. And, you know, people listening who are familiar with social work and what it is.
Yeah. We do have a lot.
Yeah. It's intensive one-on-one work.
Yeah.
And this is not, you know, something you herd masses of people through, right?
Right.
It is, you sit down one-on-one in somebody's hut mm-hmm. or home, and you're looking around and you're trying to understand what right. do you need.
Yeah.
So when you give into our child welfare program, family welfare program, it's doing that, and it's keeping children in families, and then it's making sure that these families are strong.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
So do you have any upcoming events or programs that you'd like to talk about?
Yeah. So, you know, we don't do anything really big events here stateside mm-hmm. yeah. all the time, but we always have different campaigns going. So yeah. as Mother's Day is coming up,
yeah.
we have a Mother's Day campaign
nice.
Going. And primarily in our program, we are working with women.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Occasionally we have some men
yeah.
who are the primary caregiver for their child, mm-hmm. but mostly it's men. So we've got a little campaign going right
cool.
now for Mother's Day, which is mm-hmm. a really great one to participate in. And
yeah.
that one's really focused on, you know, strengthening mm-hmm. and empowering
right.
women.
Right.
So I would love to invite people to participate in that.
Yeah.
And you can find
yeah.
that on our website.
Awesome.
Great. And we'll make sure awesome. We'll attach it too.
Yeah.
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 Well, Carrie, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, talking about, this is hard work you're doing out there.
Yeah.
And you're really climbing uphill, and it's awesome to hear that people are out there trying to do this work.
Yeah,
so thanks
so
a lot.
Much. Really privileged to be here.
Thank you.
Okay, so that was our interview with Carrie Armbruster. Great interview, super inspirational stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She was an awesome like charismatic person. Very yes. cool stuff she's doing yes. out there. Very neat.
Yes. I really appreciated her taking the time to come mm-hmm. down and meet with us.
That's correct. Now, Jerrica and I, we obviously, you've heard us before. We are not the numbers people. We are not the facts and figures people.
We are not.
Except for Jerrica's weird love affair with Washington State crap.
Don't you worry about that. Roll on, Columbia.
There it is. That is Roll the Washington on. State folk song?
Correct. Thank not you to be confused with our Washington State song, which is My Home, Washington. Washington my home.
Jesus. Sorry. You're going to lose your card there, your Washington State card.
I know. I apologize to all residents of Washington State.
There you go. So, we thank Carrie for coming on the show. We're not going to hit you with any facts and figures. We're going to keep mm-hmm. this short and sweet. We're going to give you some upcoming events. So we're releasing this on Tuesday, which means that tomorrow there's Public Service Recognition Week. And then the next day is the big old leadership breakfast.
Yes, and definitely come out to our booth on PSRW. It'll be on East Campus across from the State Capitol building. We'll Correct. Be having Papa Shot
Boom.
Where you can
beat me.
Challenge Philip Kerrigan
Try to beat me.
And maybe get a trophy if you can do it.
Don't just let it be Jerrica Ferguson out there playing Philip Kerrigan for 2 hours.
I mean, I'm going to, and I'm going to crush
no,
you.
No, I'm going to beat you.
No, it's false. Yeah. I'm going to be holding a hot dog while beating you at the same time.
Oh, my
because,
gosh.
Because, yes, you can get a free hot dog just for you.
That's correct.
And big shout out to WSECU for their coffee cart.
Yeah, sponsors of the show.
Also sponsor of the show.
Look at that. They're doing all sorts of stuff. Integrating all over the place.
Yep, and then, of course, Leadership Breakfast.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be a fantastic event. We actually have an organization that's similar to Carrie's organization, Medical Teams International. We have a Ugandan refugee who will be here speaking mm-hmm. about her experiences. Jordan Babineau from the Seahawks. Alex Stone from Summit Assistance Dogs, whose life was transformed by getting a service dog. Mm-hmm. It is going to be a really, really great event. We're hoping that people really enjoy it.
Yes.
We will actually be having an interview with, it'll be a special with Rachel Kyalakoba and the folks from Medical Teams International about her experience.
That's amazing.
So that's going to be really great.
Yeah, definitely stay tuned for that. Yeah. Particularly if you like this podcast and any of our other podcasts, particularly in Africa and refugee. I know our first podcast actually was with International Refugee Rescue.
International Rescue Committee.
Yes,
that's right.
Which, yes.
Good, so, like, a good memory, Ms. Ferguson.
Thank you. That's from 2 years ago, a year and a half ago.
2 years ago now.
2 years ago.
Yeah, it was a great, great podcast. And it really what started the whole idea of like, we're going to talk about
this.
Topical
yeah.
issues.
Yeah.
This will be one of those really neat sort mm-hmm. of experiences that people are going to have.
Yep.
So look out for that. And then, of course, after that, we start our campaign leader training. So those of you who are volunteers who listen to the show, thank you, first of all, for doing it.
Yep. we appreciate you.
And then also come to training so you can learn more.
Yes.
But other than that, we are going to be in the midst of starting this whole campaign over again. So thank you everybody for listening to the
thank
show
you.
And we will talk to you next week.
Have a great day.